Okay, very good afternoon to all the brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So now it's almost slightly after 3, we can get ready for puja. Today is the 29th September 2019, Sunday. We are having our third lesson of this sharing on the book, The Path to Truth, for modern day Bodhisattva cultivators or practitioners. So we will develop the pace, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahan Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhan Bhagavantan Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dityampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dityampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dityampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadatthana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Puja. Buddhang Puja. Dhammang Puja. Sanghang Puja. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax body and mind and maintain some form of attention, then we shall continue from where we stop. We are still at the introduction page, Romanize page 14. So we are following this book, The Path to Truth. For the modern day Bodhisattva practitioner, page 14, Romanize 14, part 1, pointing directly to the Bodhisattva path. So this is part 1 of the book, where the sharing is on pointing directly to the Bodhisattva way, so that you understand what this Bodhisattva way is. They use the word Bodhisattva path, so it's the same. Then part 2, they discuss the principle and practices for the modern day Bodhisattvas. This part 2 is very important because it involves not only the principle behind, it also involves the practices. Because as a Bodhisattva, you must have certain principles or quality. Then from there, you will develop your cultivation. And your cultivation is very unique because it's based on wisdom or understanding. You come for the living being out of love and compassion for them. You have your vows. That's why out of love and compassion, you vow the first Bodhisattva vow is to liberate the limitless living being. And that itself is selfless. That's why you have such understanding. So based on such understanding, you develop certain very good quality in you, born of wisdom. And because of that, you will know how to develop the practice to fulfill all this vow. Then the second basic vow is you vow to endure and severe all affliction or vexation. In order to do this, you must have great virtue. First is patient endurance, followed by wisdom and understanding. Without patient enduring wisdom, you cannot endure and severe all suffering. You will be afflicted when you come again and again to this existential world to be reborn as a living being. Most of the time will be human beings to be a blessing to all, to the world. But your coming is through an understanding, wisdom, not born or ignorant anymore after you have developed certain awakening. Then when you develop the vow through wisdom and understanding, then you can have this ability to choose to come. You no longer have to come. So all this understanding are very important. Then the third vow also develops certain great virtue, because the third vow is you vow to cultivate and perfect all wisdom. In order to do that, you would have diligently cultivated the perfection of wisdom, the cultivation of prajna paramita, leading to the perfection of wisdom. So when you have that, the other virtue will come about. That's why after that, the fourth vow is you vow to perfect all the 10 perfections that is needed for you to fulfill the realization of Sama Sambuddhahood. And that can happen because after the second and third vow fulfilled, your wisdom would have been perfected. Then the perfection of the other virtue will be relatively simple. In fact, when you fulfill your first vow, love and compassion could have been perfected. The second vow, Kanti, or patient endurance, would have been perfected. Then renunciation would have been perfected too. Then after that is wisdom. So all this will bring forth the causes and conditions for you to develop a very stable understanding to walk the rest of the path to fulfill the 10 perfection to become Sammasambuddha. Then together with the added understanding that my nature has shared with you through all the aspiration and determination that you have developed based on the Bodhisattva vow schedule that I have given you, you will develop great understanding, great causes and conditions to go this way. In fact, the vow and the understanding will take you along. Technically, you don't have to do anything, because all those important right view that you vow to develop, the understanding life after life, is very important. It will shorten the cultivation process. Then the vow to break all karmic offense from Triple Gem and all beings is also very important. Once you can do that, then with all the essential Dhamma, the understanding, then cultivate affinity with great beings, seek their blessing, perfection, and guidance. All this is going to take you along and bring forth the way. That's why as a Bodhisattva, part one, you have to develop all those underlying understanding for you to go this way. That's why under their teaching, part one is pointing directly to the Bodhisattva way or Bodhisattva path. Yeah. So when you know how to make the vow, then develop all the appropriate understanding, the additional vow and additional affinity, aspiration, everything, then you become different. The additional thing that I share with you is not in this book. They are not stated in any part of this book. So that one is unique to you, because that is from my nature. And with that, you save a lot of time. Then after that, part two is the same. Like I say, they develop the principle and practices that you have to do as a Bodhisattva. Then they are more inclined towards the modern day Bodhisattva who are involved with society. Not the one that devote themselves to self-practice, the hermit life and all those things, the cultivation and all those things. So most of the time, if their cultivation is still at that stage, they are not real Bodhisattva. The real Bodhisattva will have to come out into life where you vow to liberate the limitless living being. So as a modern day Bodhisattva, you are engaged with society, engaged with life, and your understanding is very different. You go beyond the sainthood way and you cultivate in a very, very different, diverse way. And that will bring forth the causes and conditions for you to have very, very extensive experience, understanding, and wisdom. That's how you can be successful in cultivating this way, because the wisdom, the virtue developed by all these Bodhisattvas or great beings leading to Sammasambuddhahood is very different. They are very vast, limitless, but they are wonderful, worth the effort. rewarding. That's why people who understand, they choose this way. They are willing to come for the living way. Then part three, from zero to infinity, the path to truth explains in detail the connection and meaning of this concept. So from zero to infinity, I don't know what the book says, I have not read it too. But based on what I understand, I have shared with you, zero is your oneness nature, your true nature, your Buddha nature. That is the source of all things, before anything arises. From there arises the first thought of ignorance. That is the one that comes forth. Then from that one, the mind right creation by the mundane mind give rise to the infinite phenomena, infinite process of life. Means the birth and death, the cycle of birth and death, the mind right creation. Every segment of your life you come, you create all this mind right phenomena, mind right existence, the limitless or the infinite phenomena. So that's the reason why from zero comes one, and one comes infinity. And according to the Buddha, when people ask him about the first cause, the beginning of life, he tell people not to waste time, because unless you are Sammasambuddha, it's almost impossible for you to comprehend. So he used the opening statement, inconceivable is the beginning of the first thought of ignorance that conditioned living being to fall until now. Even the Buddha said that. So just imagine, people who don't have the understanding, they keep on using their thought to probe. You can't, you're wasting your time. Then the analogy they give is very beautiful in the Theravada Sutta. He gave this example, the Buddha said, let's say you are being wounded by an arrow that has poison in it. So when you are wounded, you refuse to be cured. You say, I want to know who shot me. What poison is it? By the time you find out, you already dead. Do you understand? That's how if you want to find out, you cultivate, perfect yourself until you realize Sammasambuddhahood. Then you can find out the first cause. But it's not important. You know, the first cause is inconceivable to living being unless you are Sammasambuddha. So that understanding is very deep and very important. Okay, we go on. In part one, the origin of the Cixi school of Buddhism are traced back to the early years when Cixi gradually developed the four missions. Are you all familiar with the four missions of Cixi? How many of you are from Cixi? Huh? None of you? Cannot be. I thought quite a lot of Kanyamita are from Cixi. Huh? None of you? Anyway, this book teach you a lot of things about Cixi. Their beginning and how they evolve all these things. Their four mission is very simple. First is charity. Charity is the very first thing that they do. That's why they started with charity, dana parami. Then to help relieve suffering, they go into the second mission of offering medicine to help the sick, to cure the sick, to reduce suffering. Then the third mission is to educate the living beings. So education is third. Also educate the followers, the Cixi member, the supporters. So all this will help develop the understanding of the Dhamma, so that they understand life, so that they will know how to appreciate life. then they can play their role appropriately, to live the good life through this understanding. And the last one is of a humanistic culture, that mission. You must must have this humanistic nature in you. Without that, you cannot be a blessing to society, to living being, to fellow living beings or human beings. So these are the four missions that they did. So over that period, Ciji simply focused on doing what had to be done and what was right. So this four thing is a natural consequence to the need when it started. You need to raise funds. You need charity. Then you need to have the love, the compassion, the understanding. That's why after charity, you will develop what is needed, medicine, then education, then humanistic culture or understanding. So what they did was, Ciji simply focused on doing what had to be done and what was right. Then in the process of giving with love, volunteer come to truly understand Dhamma. This part is very important. When you do it sincerely with love, with understanding, then you will develop the true understanding. So the understanding is based on the Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. They witness suffering. So their cultivation is slightly different, but faster in that sense. Do you remember the second turning of the First Noble Truth? What did the Buddha say? This First Noble Truth of Dukkha is to be understood. So how is it possible for you to understand? The best way is what? To be involved in the Ciji activity, to go and relieve suffering. Then you witness firsthand suffering. That's why suffering is to be understood. So through all this understanding, it will give rise to the process. So they say, in the process of giving love, volunteer come to truly understand the Dhamma. That's how they did it. Then based on the Four Noble Truths, they will understand what suffering is, where they see them, they witness them. Then the cause of its arising, due to attachment, craving, clinging, grasping, born of self-delusion. Then the cessation of suffering, how suffering can end when you have the wisdom and the understanding. And how to do it. That is following the Noble Eightfold Path, the path that leads to the cessation of suffering or dukkha. So Master Sun Yan guided Ciji volunteer to appreciate their own blessing through witnessing suffering and then to create more blessing. This sentence is very important. Like last Sunday, the simple virtue, you remember the three simple virtues that I taught you? The first one is to be appreciative of life, to cherish what you have. That's why when you witness suffering, you start to understand the nature's law, why people suffer. According to the Buddha, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. So all this is part of nature's law, the law of karma. Then the Buddha also asks us to reflect, constantly reflect, the five daily contemplation, which relate to the First Noble Truth reality. And the last of the five contemplation is on law of karma. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So do not blame anybody else for what happened to you. So when you see their suffering, you know in the past They didn't understand this Dhamma. They didn't cultivate accordingly. That's why they suffer. They become afflicted. When condition is there, they will be afflicted by it. So through this, the volunteer will have the understanding to truly appreciate their own good blessing through witnessing suffering. Why they suffer? You didn't suffer. Because you did the right duty following nature's law. You follow the Dhamma guideline. You act according to Dhamma way, which is the righteous way. That's why you are different. You are blessed. You don't have to go through all the. You are like always very lucky, very blessed. So you will have great appreciation of your own blessing through witnessing suffering. And then you will determine to have the faith to cultivate more wholesomeness, more blessing. That's how you improve your life. So to improve your life is very simple. Understand this law of karma, which is a nature's law. Then follow the advice of the Buddha, avoid all evil through keeping your precepts. Then cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, do good, develop wholesomeness wherever there is condition. Then finally develop wisdom not to be afflicted, purify your mind. So that's how the Four Noble Truths, the advice of the Buddha, can help you develop that understanding. So this is how Tsuchi teach their volunteers, their members. Go out, help people, relieve suffering, then witness suffering, and through that, you learn. So the four missions, they are all there. Start from charity. You develop all the other three. Because from charity, you will know these people need help, need medicine, need people to offer all those appropriate requisites like food, shelter, money to help rebuild their homes, their life. Then those who are wounded, sick, they can develop a more fortunate condition through receiving all this medicine and food that people donate to charity to help them. Then when they listen to their teacher's teaching through Tai Tai, through the book she wrote, through all the sharing that she gave, they will develop the understanding of the Dhamma, because they witness while they do this work the Noble Truth of suffering. Then they develop virtue, they appreciate their own life, their own blessing, they cherish what they have. Then this mind state all become wholesome. Then they know they are on the right path. They develop faith, they determine to do more and more of all this virtuous act, kind act, to be a blessing to the world, to all of humanity. That's how the humanistic part also comes in. So from charity, medicine, food, shelter, then you develop the education part, then finally the humanistic part. So this formation is very basic. They just do what is needed. That is the first phase. Then I will read on. During this process, making vow is critical, see? Making vow, the Bodhisattva vow, is critical for volunteer, so that they may retain the love that has been inspired in them, to continue to tap into the wellspring of love. This is a very good expression, wellspring of love, until the feel of blessing, see? It's like you plow, you till the land to plant your crop. So you till the field of blessing and to invite more kind-hearted people in the world to cultivate alongside with you. That's how you can help the world. You can share this understanding with people like our Kayanamitas. We are all Kayanamitas, Dharma friends. We can give them faith, give them confidence. That's how we can counsel them, motivate them, support them. That's what fellowship is all about. So next week, next Sunday, 6th of October, is our 15th anniversary. Gathering of Kayanamita, come of course. My birthday, they want to express their gratitude, their thanks and all things. And like I always share with you all, it's not so much of my birthday. That birthday is just a day, not so significant. In actual fact, every year we choose a different day. My actual day is end of the month, next month, 31st. So it's not the 6th, but it's a symbolic day because people want to express their gratitude and also express their thanks to all those who have helped out. There are a lot of volunteers who help out in many ways. The organizers, the website people, the tape recording people, the transcript people, the short note people, and even our cameraman, Jin Ha, and Brother Tim Leo. Then people who help us to come out with a transcript book, publish, donate for free distribution, all those things. We should thank them. We should have gratitude towards them. We should appreciate the good karma for us to be associated with such a great organization, with such great Kayanamitas. Then through this understanding, that gathering, like I say, is not so much of my birthday. It can be an occasion or an occasion for fellowship. Why not? Because we seldom meet. Once a year, all the various Kayanamita from all the various classes, Tuesday class, Thursday class, Sunday class, sometimes Sunday Dhamma talk, Friday Dhamma talk, and also our annual retreat, Kayanamita, and some outstation overseas Kayanamita who go online, if they can come for this gathering, they will get to meet us. And when they meet up, they can receive the latest book, the latest transcript book. And they can also get to understand what this Kayanamita grouping is all about. Then they can express their joy, their experience, they can share with others. Then also they can, those senior ones who has benefited, they can help counsel, motivate and share their understanding with people. So this type of sincere sharing will help because it gives faith, it expresses the understanding. And when people witness all this Kayanamita, which has noble qualities and noble character, people will understand we are different. We are true cultivator of the way. We are not just the type of practitioner that go by theory. We don't just talk about it. We express it in our life, the understanding, in our personality, our character, and how we actually develop the understanding to be a blessing to all. So as a true Bodhisattva, we have very good qualities. Even as a true Kayanamita, we have very good quality. You go into the website, the attributes of a true Kayanamita, they are all there. They are so beautifully expressed. Because you understand the teaching, then through the understanding, you know how to live life. And when you live life according to the Dhamma way, which is the righteous way, you become a blessing to all. Just by keeping the precept, developing wholesomeness through avoiding all evil, you become such a great blessing to all. Do you understand how it can happen? When you keep precept, you no more negativity. Do you understand? So you don't contribute towards the negativity of consciousness. That itself gives blessing to the world, because the planetary consciousness is not being polluted by your evil roots, your wrong thought, your negativity of thought process. No more wrong action, wrong speech. Through keeping precept, you do not harm others. You do not cause suffering to fellow living beings. You develop more love, compassion, understanding, appreciative of life. You cultivate noble eightfold path. You bring forth a lot of good mind state, condition for the world to really, really become a better place for all of humanity. So all this understanding is very beautiful. Then by the time you have developed the understanding of the Dhamma, you can move one step further. Instead of only keeping precept, avoiding evil, cultivate virtue, you develop wisdom to liberate your mind, to free your mind, so that you can be a blessing to all, so that your life can change for the better, so that you can contribute to society, to humanity, to the world, to the environment. And through this, it will influence the rest. People whom you know, your loved one, your colleague, your friend, your neighbor, they have more moments of joy, happiness through knowing you. They feel safe when they are near you. They can feel that you are sincere. You are kind, you are gentle. You are very, very different. You are ever willing to help when needed. Yeah. So all these virtues, they can only come from true cultivator. So Shiji learned in a different way. We as Kayamita learn also in a slightly different way. But when you combine the understanding, you become beautiful. So this is reflecting, understanding. Then you move on. This is what this sharing is all about. Where now you go into more detail. You not only understand why you take the vow and why you go this way. Now, as a bodhisattva, you need to manifest to be a true practitioner, a true cultivator. You need to have this understanding, to have the embodiment of the teaching, so that you can contribute to the world, so that you can develop this right understanding, which is your principle in life, the way you conduct yourself, following the Dhamma way, with the Dhamma understanding. Then when you have this principle developed, you will know how to practice them. You will know how to put it into action through life experience. Then you manifest them in life. Means the teaching become a part of you. It's no longer a theory. You don't just read about it, talk about it. You express it in your own, with your own understanding, through your own change personality and character. And this is what a true bodhisattva is. Out of love and compassion, you come for the living being. And you know the Dhamma. And you know how to bring forth the righteous way to live life, to be a blessing to all. And through all this, you can give faith to other people, fellow Kayamitas, or fellow cultivators, and all those things. So after they witness all this, they develop the faith, then they will know what to do. Then they will also go the Dhamma way. So one can touch many, and many can touch more. So it's through the individual. When the individual change, the totality will slowly change. But you need to have quality cultivator. That's why this book also, they emphasize on developing more and more modern day Bodhisattva practitioner. You need more and more of these beings to balance the negativity created within our planetary consciousness. So to purify all this consciousness take a while. We need enough numbers. You can have about 1% of the world population to have this understanding. The world consciousness will reverse and change very fast. Then you will witness a lot of different things happening. Okay, I will read on. Then you will understand. During this process, making vow is critical. So this one I have gone through. For volunteers, so that they may retain the love that has been inspired in them to continue to tap into the wellspring of love and tilt the field of blessing and to invite more kind-hearted people in the world to cultivate alongside them. Now this part is what I try to share with you. So you can really have that quality, then you show the example. It's like leadership by example. People saw you change. People saw you develop great understanding, beautiful understanding, and your life has become so beautiful, so different. And because of that, you can impress upon them. And there are many more kind-hearted people in the world who is willing to follow your footsteps to develop all this. So they will cultivate alongside with you. Okay, then we come to part two. Principles and practices of modern day Bodhisattva is further divided into three sections. Fundamental teaching of the Cixi school of Buddhism, then the spirit of great love. The spirit of great love is very strong in Cixi member because their foundation, the name Cixi, consists of two words, Cipei, Jiuji. Cipei is compassion, Jiuji is to relieve suffering beings during nature's disaster. When people are being afflicted. So this second part is very important, the spirit of great love and unifying practice and principle. So part two explains the Buddhist sutta that are practiced by the Qingshi Dhamma lineage and the Cixi school of Buddhism. So based on the spirit of the Lotus Sutta and its essence, the Sutta of Infinite Meaning, Wuliang Yi Qing, Cixi volunteer cultivate the quality of sincerity. See, these are all the virtues that you must have. Sincerity, integrity, faith, and steadfastness as they serve people with loving kindness, compassion, joy, and selfless giving. They spread the Dhamma not only by providing humanitarian aid, but also by cherishing everything on earth with a spirit of great love. That's why you need to cherish everything that you have on earth. The air we breathe, the water we get to drink, they all come from nature. The food, the raw material, everything, they come from nature. So, by cherishing everything on earth with the spirit of great love, that's why you must have love towards all things, whether living or non-living. And when you do this, the spirit of great love will transcend religion, race and nationality. Will this one divide the world and create a lot of conflict, suffering, war, misunderstanding? Then you understand why the world is so chaotic, because of delusion. Living beings cannot see their mundane mind. So mundane mind, through words, concept and ideology, created division. They come up with the concept of nationality, race, religion. Then they divide. And living beings who are deluded by it, they attach, they cling. Then there is misunderstanding, argument, conflict, leading to war, and all the negativity of emotion. They also spread the Dhamma by displaying the amicability. Now this one is very important. Amicability means they resolve all things amicably. Sincerity and utmost goodness and beauty of human nature in their action. So you can do all this, you are a true Bodhisattva. Many people joined Shiji after they were inspired to do good deeds in order to allow volunteers to closely connect with one another in their community and to join force in larger region. Master Chenyan has designed an organized structure for Shiji commissioner and faith corp members. So this one, they have it very well developed. I was told all this his helper. They call them commissioner and faith corp members. They have training center, do you know? Do you know that they have training center even in Malaysia? Malacca, they have one very big one. They train you to handle crisis and other stuff. To become like one of them, to help out. And they are very organized. With unity. So unity means you unite all into a region at its core. And sphere, the sphere extends outward with subsequent layers of harmony, which is the district. From a region, because of unity, then you can divide it outward or extend it outward into layers of harmony, means the district level. Then mutual love within your area. And then the concerted effort within the community, each with its own function and responsibility. With this structure, Master Chenyan expects volunteers to apply the Buddha Dhamma in their daily life. So able to apply what you have learned, the Dhamma way, in your daily life is through cultivation. Furthermore, she hopes that they will support one another. See? Support one another is very important. Like just now I share with you our Kayanamita. We can counsel and support each other. So all these are very important. Then not only support, you also mentor more talented people to become potential leaders and call on the public to become involved. Thus, it can be said that Shiji School of Buddhism has already taken shape. So over the last 44 years, it has really taken shape. It has become a great organization. You see, you not only cultivate the counsel, you also motivate them through example. Then you support them in whatever way you can. Initially, they are new, they don't understand. You can really guide them along. So you support, you counsel, then you motivate them. give them faith, give them understanding. Say, if you really go this way, the Dhamma way, the righteous way, your life will change. Your life will transform. You will become beautiful. And if you understand the nature's law of karma, what are you waiting for? Do you want to continue with this deluded way, heedless way of living life that brings forth so much suffering to you and the world? If you don't want that type of life, then determine to go for the better, to change for the better. And to change is not difficult. When you understand the Dhamma, you will never make the wrong choice. Your life, you hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be miserable is entirely one's choice. Why can't you choose wisely? Choose to be happy. Choose to be loving, kind, sincere, and wise. Then you will be happy. But why are living beings not happy? Yeah, they don't have this Dhamma, they don't know how to choose. If they have this Dhamma, they will not choose the other way to be heedless. When you choose to be heedless, you will suffer, you will be afflicted. Then your life will be mediocre and you will have a lot of problems. This is nature's law. You cannot blame anybody for what happened. Because you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. So this part is very important. Right? Okay, we move on. For the past 40 plus years, Tzu-chi established its four missions. About one mission every decade. Yeah? We are 40 years. So the four missions, yeah? We are right now. How to spell Tzu-chi? T-Z? T-Z-U? C-H-I? In Asia, four missions. What are they? First is charity, yes. Charity. Then, second one is what? Medicine. In fact, medicine is one of the essential ones. Sorry. It covers food also. Food, blanket, or whatever support. Medicines. So this one cover food and shelters. And other support to relieve suffering. To relieve suffering. So this part, medicine is one of the essential ones. But they normally bring along food, water, clothing, blanket, shelters, and all those things. So the third one is what? Third one is what? Education, isn't it? Good. Education. That's how they learn. Then the last one is what? Humanistic culture. You have to inculcate this type of culture into society, into life, so that everybody can play their role to benefit society, to benefit the world, to benefit all of humanity. And they have done very well. They have actually developed a very strong, established establish, set up and principle. Do you know charity, they are very strong. They have don't know how many millions of supporters over 15 countries all over the world. Recycle is later. Then medicine, all this relief come from charity, and they just send the volunteer. They are the first to be there wherever there is nature's disaster or whatever. Then education, they have their various type of program and teaching. Their Tai Tai is one of them. Then they have the master's books and all those things. Then they have their morning session, which is broadcast and also video. So they learn. Then humanistic culture is where just now Miss Lee mentioned, recycling. All this come in. It's involving society, helping the world, helping the environment. That's why you do humanistic thing, helping the sick, the disabled, those who are very ill, elderly people, who don't have the means and support. So they help relieve suffering in many ways. So in the field of humanistic science or culture, they have done a lot. They have done a lot. And you look at these four missions that they started off. They have helped the world almost everywhere you can see. Wherever there is major nature's disaster, they have relief team ready, ever ready to go out to help. Even my brother told me that he is involved in the northern part of Stang Penang. So earlier on, the flood in Kedah, even Kelantan, you see them moving very fast. Without the government knowing, they already there. So a lot of these things, even last, what was it, 2004, 15 years ago, the tsunami, you remember? They were all over to help too. So this is what Dhamma is. If you have Dhamma, you have goodness, understanding, kindness, and you can be a blessing to all. You can do a lot of these things. So this is what they do. But as Bodhisattva, we can play our role. That's why our this grouping is very unique. Very special, because you don't have to associate with any particular Buddhist sect or organization. We are just fellow Kayadamita, Dhamma friends, cultivator of the way. So if you want to join Tsu Chi to do those work, you can, but with your understanding behind, you can contribute in better way. Then you want to join any organization in their relief program or charity program, you can. That's why you are free to move around. There is no restriction. There is no such thing as if you are here, you cannot join others. No. That's why we don't want to have division. Ultimately, we are all Dhamma friends, Dhamma practitioners who walk the path of Dhamma, who cultivate the Dhamma way through understanding, the righteous way. So all this can pave the way for beautiful understanding. And we can learn from each other. So this book, I like it is because they explain a lot of their Tsu Chi organization, how they started, how they actually cultivate it, put it into practice, develop it and become what it is today. Yeah, this is a living reality and they have done so extensively. That's why I choose this book. When I flick through, I knew what they do is very beautiful, very wholesome. So you can rejoice. You can develop that faith. Then as true Bodhisattva, After you have the understanding of the teaching and the vow, you will know how to move. Then, whatever idea they give to you, you can expand on it later on. Then, who knows, in future, one of you can also become some great beings, and you will bring forth the wholesomeness, the understanding in your own way, and you can establish beautiful organization and set up even much better organized Dhamma centers that can actually help promote this type of culture, which are related to society, living beings. Okay? So far, any question? Or anything you want to clarify? What's the time now? Oh, we still got almost 25 minutes. Okay, let me read on if you don't have any question. Part 3. From 1 to infinity, describe volunteers' involvement during the expansion of the four missions and the eight Dhammas' footprint. Since Shiji started its second phase of growth. For example, Shiji volunteered provide care for the poor and sick, and join disasters relief effort to bring comfort to survivors. The medicine team or medical team of Shiji Hospital served as the bedrock to providing medical care to those suffering from illness. Do you know now they have hospital? Shiji? Their hospitals are very well established. They even have dialysis center. They are offering it a very special subsidized rate for those who need to go for kidney dialysis and other things. They treat all patients as their own family member. They also team up with the Shiji International Medical Association, TIMA, to hold free clinic overseas. Members of Shiji Teachers Association, TCTA, teaches Jingshi aphorism to school and even go to remote mountain village to introduce humanistic education to villagers. Recycling volunteers cherish resources and do environmental protection work. Shiji's publication of the Ta'ai TV program broadcast the beauty and kindness of this volunteer, who not only serve as model of humanity, but also inscribe the Shiji's canon of teaching with their life. So in part 3, from 1 to infinity, Master Chen Yan recount 20 real life stories as example. Each and every one of these stories is a physical manifestation of the Sutta of infinite meaning, Wulian Yi Jing. From this, we can see that it is not necessary to seek enlightenment somewhere far away. Master Chen Yan wants Shiji volunteers to cultivate their mind in the daily action. This one you must make a note. Master Chen Yan wants Shiji cultivator or volunteer to cultivate their mind in the daily action of walking, standing, sitting, and lying down. This is where the four foundations of mindfulness is. She encourages them to love and help one another, to carry out the Buddha's teaching of respecting life by relieving suffering and giving joy to suffering beings, and to fully utilize their ability to do good deeds every second of their life. If they can do so, every place can be a place of spiritual cultivation. That's why last Sunday we talked about every encounter can be a spiritual practice. So life itself is Dhamma. Life itself is your greatest teacher. Dhamma can only be cultivated in life. nowhere else. Without understanding life, you cannot cultivate the Dhamma. That's why you need to go through life to develop that understanding. To truly realize the Dhamma. When you have understood the Dhamma, you will understand life completely, thoroughly. Then you will know how to live life. Then you will know how to develop the wholesomeness, the blessing, the wisdom to truly live life. Then you can have the noble life, the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. So these are all very beautiful. Okay, we will read on. The path to truth also includes an appendix with further articles that may be of interest to those looking to understand more about the organization's operation and development. One section explains the meaning behind Ciji's volunteer structure. Also included is the history of the development of Ciji's mission and projects that were highlighted in the Chinese edition, means the Mandarin edition of this book. While no longer up to date, it provides an interesting background to the work Ciji is doing now. Many people have never heard of or come into contact with Ciji's Mr. Tuan Cheng Wong, Vice President of Ciji Foundation, gave a fitting explanation of Ciji's essence and quality. So this one you have to listen attentively. Ciji is a non-governmental organization that helps individuals recognize their duties within their family, community and society. See, right duty is right Dhamma. While you do this work, you must not neglect your own family. You must not neglect your own individual duties. You have duty towards your own family members, the community and society. So all these are very beautiful. So I read this again, you listen. Ciji is a non-government organization that helps individuals recognize their duty within the family, community, and society. A religious organization that allows people to find spiritual refuge within the faith itself. A charity organization that affirms the value of life through helping others. An organization of spiritual cultivation that elevates people's moral integrity through diligent practice. An educational organization that carries out compassionate vows of transforming people. And an organization of action that attests to the Buddha nature within each person's heart. So the definition is very complete, very beautiful. 42 years after Ciji was founded, the Ciji School of Buddhism was established and its doors are open to all. At the completion of the first phase of growth, Ciji began its second phase in order to purify people's mind, achieve a peaceful and harmonious society. It is necessary to inspire more living bodhisattvas. See, they want to inspire more living bodhisattvas. As Master Chen Yan has encouraged volunteers for many years, just do it. So this is written by Si Ti Fu in the year 2014. So it's 5 years ago this book was published. So this book was written in the year 2014, November. Okay, we finished the introduction already. Do you have any question or anything to add based on what we have discussed? Can you follow the deep meaning or not? Or the important understanding and the principle behind This book, we use it as a guide so that it will introduce to you how Shi Qi develops and nurture their volunteer to become a modern day Bodhisattva practitioner. They always call it Bodhisattva within the world, Ren Qian Fu Sa. So everybody can do it if you have the faith, the sincerity and the understanding. No problem at all. Don't allow your thought to discourage you. I'm very happy with the sainthood way, Bodhisattva way, too difficult for me. So do not allow that thought to influence you or condition you. Because without the thought, you are really beautiful. When you realize your true mind, your true nature, you will understand it differently. Okay, any more questions or anything that you want to ask or share? We still got about 15 minutes before 4:30 your meditation. I think we stop here so that part one, the actual book sharing is proper. So part one is page 21. Part one is pointing directly to the Bodhisattva way. So this one we will start maybe next week. Or following week. Next week is gathering Kayamita. Or is it full moon day? So we are not having. Stop for 3 weeks. Okay. So we stop for 3 weeks according to Miss Lee. Because next Sunday is our gathering of Kayamita. Then following week is full moon day. Full moon day. Then the third week is what? Oh, you're not around. So third week is Miss Lee not available. So Miss Lee already gone into cessation. pass the mic to Tammy.
Okay. Good afternoon, Roger and Olga Mita. I got a question or more. It's like this. I recall when I was younger, then Buddhism is like, all what Shi Qi is doing now, it's like rather hard. I feel hard. Then, now, after I found, I understand about Theravada, then it's like, Theravada is just cultivating the mind. So it's rather, not really doing a lot of things, but need to aware of the greed, hatred, delusions in the mind. Then after understanding this and going back here, then I have one thing arise is it's like actually doing all those chores and then helping people going to the flood areas. A lot of things to do. Master she says that's the word, just do it, don't think too much, just do it. I think it's really a lot inside, just do it.
The meaning is very deep. Do you know why he says you just do it? Because before your wisdom arrives, you cannot understand. Your mind will complain, understand? Your mundane mind. He said, what am I here for? It's just like the Western monk when they went to Ajahn Chah then. Wat Pat Nanachat and Wat Pat Pong. He said, I came all the way from Europe to come here to meditate, not to do all this worldly thing, understand? They don't understand the domain of meditation. So Shi Qi way is different. They want you to learn it the opposite way. Their mission is to go into the field to see and witness the Dhamma, which is mainly suffering. That's why it's compassion in action. When you have the love and the compassion, you just do. Don't try to know. And when you do, you will have the understanding and the joy. Do you know when my brother, because he's Chinese educated, Mandarin educated, I say, I can't teach you. You don't know English. And you are so far away. I cannot be using Hakka dialect to teach you. So he said, in that case, what must I do? I say, you go to Ziji. That's why that was 15 years ago. I told him, you go to Ziji. And he really went. Then he developed so much understanding. Do you know what he told me or not after 2 months there? He said, before I joined Ziji, I don't know how much suffering the world has. Not until I joined Ziji. Then I really count myself very lucky in life. I'm really blessed. I don't have to experience all this. I don't have to go through all this. Then later on, he come and asked me, he said, what is the teaching all about? Then I explained to him the Four Noble Truths, the Noble Eightfold Path. He only understand a little bit at that time. So he make a note. Then later on, as he was involved in Ziji for many years, he listened to Da Ai Tai, he listened to what the teacher, Master Chen Yan, they call her by what? Sang Er, they call her by Sang Er. Every time he would tell me, no wonder Sang Er jiang Ba Zhen Dao, the Four Noble Truths. Then he said, I can remember what you tell me, he said. When I listen to someone, I cannot understand what he said. But when I recall what you share with me, I understand what someone said. Oh. See? Because the way I express it is related to life. Very simple. So because of that, he learned from that way. Then he has love, he has compassion, he has gratitude. He appreciates life. Then the faith develops. Yeah, I told you, the more you donate, the more money come to you. Really happened to him. That's why every time he make money, he will call me, help me to donate some more. Help me to donate some more. And money keep on coming to him. Like want to stop or cannot stop. So because of that, his faith become very strong. So the word, like you say, Terry, just do it, the meaning is very deep. When you just do it, means you have faith. Then when you do, without the thought telling you, then there is no negativity, understand? You do with understanding, with the faith. You go all out. Then you see the joy in you. The joy comes from understanding life. People suffer so much because they don't have the Dhamma. In the past, they must have done a lot of heedless, deluded thing. But for us, we are so fortunate. We have this condition to understand the teaching. And we can have such condition when we join Ziji to do all this wholesomeness. Do you realize as a normal Theravada Buddhist practitioner, or even Mahayana Buddhist practitioner, you know what are the merits you do or not? You always donate money only. Or help organize things and all that. And mainly, people send out notice, building fund or whatever, you just donate. But have you really go out into society to help? Compassion in action, relieve suffering. Have you ever helped your own family member, brother, sister, to come out of suffering, to come out of financial situation? Some of you maybe have done it, but have you applied the Dhamma to do it? Even the way you treat your children, your parents, your neighbors, your colleagues. All these are Dhamma. Your Dhamma is duty. Your right duty, the individual's duty towards your family towards society, towards the environment, towards all things that have relationship with you. That is Dhamma. So right duty is right Dhamma, like my teacher said. So you understand this, you will know life itself is the practice. Life itself is where you cultivate. Life itself is where the teaching is, nowhere else. That's why over the years, as you evolve, as you get yourself exposed to more and more of this, you start to understand now, based on the question that you asked yourself. Because you realize the meaning of just do it is very deep. That's why in meditation, I told you the same. Don't try to know. This one. Just silence your mind. And when you realize that true mind, the silent mind, you will understand. Before that, before the wisdom is there, you try to know, it will create negativity of thought because of ignorance. Because this thought will come out and tell you a lot of funny story. Why you got nothing to do? Your life so good. Stay at home lah. Watch the TV lah. So much program. Huh? Or WhatsApp lah. Interact with Kayamita lah. Why go all the way in the flood, in the muddy area, all those things? Huh? In area where there is so much disaster and danger. Earthquake area, all those things. The mind will start to think like that, understand or not? And this is not Dhamma, I'm not practicing, I'm not cultivating. That's how the delusion will set in and create this wrong thought. The mundane mind will become active and it will create the wrong understanding. That's why people who don't understand, after they start to believe the thought, they question what these people are doing. They got nothing better to do. So this is all due to delusion. But when you understand, you rejoice. How many people can really sacrifice their life to relieve suffering, to help people, to help society, humanity, the environment? These are true, sincere people who can sacrifice their time, their life, and develop the faith, the understanding. And when you do this, you have great blessings. You have great virtue and wholesomeness. You have whatever goodness and kindness you bring forth to humanity, to society, to environment. These are your inheritance. Then you will be blessed by all this wholesomeness because it will come to fruition. So during the golden age, the golden era where everything is so beautiful, you will get reborn into such civilization to reap of it, where you contribute to that type of consciousness, that type of world, society. So all this will become your beautiful inheritance. So whatever you do, it's not you do for others. Whatever you do, come back to you, where this will be the fruition. The fruition of it is, whatever you do, become your inheritance. You reap what you sow. So in future, whatever you do, all this goodness, wholesomeness, they will come back to you. Nature will bless you. Environment will bless you. They will be kind to you. Humanity will be kind to you. The Dhamma will show you the way. And you will be very, very blessed with a lot of real good blessing when you come. So this understanding is very deep, very important. That's why don't calculate. If you are too calculative, means you still have delusion. Who calculate? The thought calculate. The thought which is egoic is very calculative. The selfish people, very calculative, agao sunya. So they say, like the Indian, I hope they don't get angry when they hear this. We got a saying among Hokkien people, kling a sui puto. Huh? You heard of that? Huh? When you are calculative, you calculate, then you become selfish. So as you do that, you will get into trouble. Because you are too calculative, means you are too selfish. You only interested in gain, understand? So when you too calculative, you will make mistake. You will get into trouble. So don't be like those people with that kind of mentality. Why must you be calculative? Why can't you have selfless mind to be a blessing to all? Knowing that nature's law is such, you reap what you sow. If you cultivate the seed, you plant the seed of goodness, wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness and goodness. 种因结果, 种善因结善果, 种恶因结恶果. Then Master Xianhao always cautioned the cultivator, 千万要小心, 施主千万要小心, 千万不要种错因结错果, means plant the wrong seed and reap the wrong fruit. That would cause you suffering, affliction. Your karmic nature will fall. You will get into deep trouble. All these are born of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. When you are greedy, you become selfish. When you are selfish, you are evil. Because you calculate too much. You are not generous. Everything also want to cultivate, calculate for advantage. You want to take advantage of the situation of people, of society. You tend to misappropriate things, steal things. So all this will follow because of the evil roots of greed. So with this understanding, what you experience is very good. It will teach you how to understand the true Dhamma practice. The true Dhamma practice is not about what your thought tell you in the early years. That's why you mentioned just now, in the earlier, when you learn, you cannot understand why these Tsuchi people do all this. Then you go to Theravada, you got another picture of what the Dhamma is, self-practice. Everything is your own cultivation. Then once in a while, you do dana, make offering. Means you cook some food, then you go and make dana. To the Sangha or to the temple, then you donate to charity. That's what you do. But have you really go and help poor people, really suffering from people who are really in need of help? That is the real merits. Because when you really relieve suffering, your understanding is very different because you feel for them. You are willing to help people. If you do this, you know what will happen. In future, if you so happen to have negative karma from the past, then you are born into certain environment that have a lot of problems, earthquake, tsunami, all those things. Because of your parami, this time, because you help people relieve suffering, people will come and help you relieve your suffering. And that is what you will reap. Otherwise, you will get entangled with all this nature's disaster and yet you die miserably without anybody helping you. So when you understand nature's law, you are willing to go all out to help people, to cultivate wholesomeness, to go the Dhamma way. So whatever you do, never waste it. It will always come back to you. Karma is that you reap what you sow. Always remember, whatever you do, come back to your nature, karmic nature. So in future, you will get to reap it. You will benefit from it. Because people don't understand. If you understand this, you will go deeper. The way you treat your children, but you are not married, so lucky. The way you treat your children or your parents is the same. if you don't treat them well, don't do your duty, if you misappropriate or you take advantage of them, you treat them and do all the funny things, in future you will have parents that do back the same thing to you. Do you understand? That you do to your children, neglect your duty, you don't provide for them, you don't educate them, you don't sacrifice for them. In future, you will have parents who will neglect you, who will also not support you in any way. They will never sacrifice for you. They will let you rot. And sometimes you ill-treat them, mistreat them, you will have parents that will ill-treat you and mistreat you, abuse you. That's why I never do all these things. Yeah, you reap what you sow. Every time, remember, you reap what you sow. Do good because good. So develop kindness, develop understanding, not to violate the nature's law, not to do all this karmic negativity. Then only your life can change for the better. Follow the advice of the Buddha, which is following his teaching, his Dhamma. You follow the Dhamma way, that is the righteous way. That is how you can change your life, improve your life, transform your life. That's why as great Bodhisattva, great being, we understand this, then we witness our life, we experience them, then we understand through actual tests in life. Then with this faith, we can share with the world. We can help others. Because we are sure of this nature's law. We understand it very clearly. That's why my nature's mission is to share this understanding with you so that you can change for the better, you can transform. Then in future, you can cultivate this way beautifully. The Bodhisattva vow with all the essential Dhamma and the understanding that I have given you will provide you with a framework to go this way and it will shorten your cultivation, cut short your cultivation and perfection. And you will become very different and very beautiful before the next sasana. So, by the time the next sasana comes, you are already very different. You could be like my nature, sharing the Dhamma with the world. And a lot of things can happen. You will never understand all this until you walk this way. Until your nature connect and realize all this. Then you inherit what you have cultivated from the past. Then you will understand what my nature shared with you. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Should thank Tammy for the good question. Okay, now you can have your meditation. You can have half an hour. You are off the light. Then you can do your meditation. So just relax, maintain awareness within. The first two support for awareness-based meditation. Relax completely, body and mind. Then just maintain awareness. Just be aware. Don't try to know. Don't try to arise any thinking activity or thought activity. Just let things be silent and stabilize that silence until it's very, very still, until the mind enters the deep as a free mind, not as a conditioned mind in concentration or energy field. You no need to have anything to hold the mind. It's the understanding that without thought, you are already aware. So just allow the thought to slow down and finally subside. Be patient. That as you develop it, you become more and more stable. more and more clear. Then when you realize that stillness, the tranquility, you will understand what that true knowledge is. Then you will understand how from there the aggregate of form and mind arises, how thought come to be, how the mundane mind arise, and how they create all the dualities and all those things. Then you will understand Dhammapada was 1 and 2. Mind, Mano, is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, everything arises. Mind make Adi. So all this understanding will be there. So mind is the forerunner of all things. You have to see it in the meditation. How from there, all of creation start. Now then just now I forgot to tell you that switch is meaning of from zero come one, one comes, he didn't have a zero. From one come infinity, it's different. The meaning is not the first part of ignorance. It's the first deed that Suchi did, then it's split up and multiplied into so many. So their meaning is different. So just take a note. So just relax, silent, maintain awareness, and develop the meditation until you realize the true mind, the silent mind, until the mind enters the deep. Well, most of you surely have the five spiritual faculty. So the mental hindrance will not come and disturb you because you have the initial wisdom to deal with them. You will just let the mind be. Accept the reality of the moment. Let it do whatever it wants. Because they are all dependent, originating mind state. That's how Sankara come to be. So when there is no more delusion or thought energy to feed them, they will slow down and finally they will cease. And then you will realize your true mind, your silent mind. That tranquility, that stillness of mind. And that one can be very beautiful when you understand. Then you will understand a lot of things. But don't be too eager to know. Don't try to know when you are in the formal meditation. Just silent. Develop the stability of it. Then all the movement from within, when you are just aware, the understanding will be there. It understands through that silence, through that tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the true mind will awaken, will have the understanding. If it's the thought telling you that is not the true mind, that is not the wisdom, that is knowledge, Dhamma knowledge from your thought, from memory, from your conditioning, views, opinion, and belief system. So all this you will start to witness them, see them. So the fourth support for meditation is very simple. Relax, maintain awareness for as long as you can. That's why the third support is 24-hour awareness if you can. Then when mind enters the deep, then your mind becomes different. Everything you do is in sati after that. Every moment of consciousness is in sati. Every moment of awareness is in sati. Then your mind becomes very different. Then you can extend this into the daily life and stabilize your daily mindfulness. Within the daily life, you maintain daily mindfulness with a stable daily religious routine determined to be mindful. That is what you need to do. Then when the mindfulness comes, you will know. And to help speed up this process, you need to constantly listen to the Dhamma. Arise the first turning wisdom. Then reflect on it, contemplate on it, inquire into it. Mindfully recollect the first noble truth reality, all the eight conditions, then develop the understanding. Then when you understand, the second turning wisdom will be there. First and second turning wisdom, when they stabilize, that's why my teacher always advised me to contemplate until very, very clear. Then this initial wisdom, yoni so manasika, will maintain a very stable understanding for you to straighten your view. And when you straighten your view, in the midst of life, when you go through life, your mind will have this initial wisdom to prompt you not to react to sense experience, where you can understand them. People are just the way they are. The world is the world. Condition are that, things we are that. Suchness. Nature's condition. Like the Buddha say, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. When the causes and condition is established, thing will be this way, cannot be otherwise. That's why I have to accept this reality of the moment. Then I act, I move with understanding. I act following the word before. Then my mind will not stir. It will be at peace all the time, anywhere, any place, anytime, in any portion. That's what wisdom is all about. That's what the understanding of the Dhamma is all about. So when you can have that understanding, you become more and more quiet, more and more peaceful, even while in the midst of life, in your daily life. That's how your daily mindfulness will stabilize. Then you have more moment of peace, more moment of awareness. Then the space between thought become lengthened. Then most of the time you are just aware without any thought activity or movement. If you can stabilize it in the form of meditation until mind enters the deep, then it's very easy to develop daily mindfulness. The initial wisdom together with this form of meditation training will enable you to do that. Then when you are back in society, in your daily life, determined to be aware, and the daily mindfulness will come, and you will understand clearly what my nature shared with you after that, and you will progress very fast. You will transform very fast. You will understand the Dhamma on your own. Technically, you don't need teacher. Okay, with this, I will let you meditate on your own. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. And try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. You have to integrate this developed mind state into your daily life, your daily activity. So ultimately, the cultivation is as per Abhijja Sutta. The 10th step in the Abhijja Sutta, the enlightenment sequence. That one is very important. Maybe I go through it one more time with you all. Okay. The Abhijja Sutta is the Sutta on ignorance. So there are 10 steps in the Abhijja Sutta. Enlightenment secret. So this enlightenment sequence, there are 10 steps. So step one is having Dhamma friends. To have Dhamma friends, or what they call Kayanamita, is one of the requisites for enlightenment. If you read the Abhijja Sutta, it's mentioned there. So having Dhamma friends or Kayanamita is one of the prerequisites for enlightenment. So this one, all Kayanamita has. You already have them. Then the second step is, because you have Kayanamita friends, you will have more opportunity to listen to the true Dhamma. So opportune to listen to true Dhamma. This one, most Kayanamita have the condition. But you need to stay like this. This one is to develop the first and second turning wisdom, which is the fourth step, Yoniso Manasikara. So this constant listening to true Dhamma is very important. Constantly listening to true Dhamma, then reflect on it, contemplate on it to develop the initial wisdom, first and second turning initial wisdom. So this one also, this one you have to do it. Some of you already have it stabilized, but this one most people have yet. Most Kayanamita has yet to stabilize this. So this part you need to do. This one is very critical. Then number three, this one I think most Kayanamita have faith in Triple Jhana. So this faith in Triple Jhana is very important. when you listen to the true Dhamma, you can investigate into it, reflect on it, contemplate on it. Then if it stands up to investigation, you develop the strong faith. Just like this faith, most Kayanta will have. Then once you have the faith, together with the constant listening to the Dhamma, reflection, contemplation and investigation, you will develop the yoniso manasikara. Yoniso manasikara. This one is very important. This one is the initial wisdom. So this number three, I think most of you also have it. So what you need is this number four. Two and four. Two, most of them have it partial. Then this one also, you need to develop it further. So this one also maybe not full. Most of you have it but partial. Not until your initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara, is there, you cannot straighten your view. Your mind will stir at the moment of sense experience. That's why your daily mindfulness cannot come about. Then step number five is very important. So this one is sati sampajana. Sati sampajana. This one is mindfulness and clear comprehension. This one, without the initial wisdom, born of the second step, you cannot develop the daily mindfulness. Then after you develop the daily mindfulness, after you have stabilized it, you need to reflect on what constitutes the four clear comprehension. The clear comprehension is to prevent you from debating. When you have clear comprehension, you will not deviate from the true path. Because these four type of clear comprehension, they define right practice. First is sincerity of purpose. When you are very sincere, you will not go wrong. Means you cultivate Dhamma to develop wisdom to free your mind, to follow the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil by keeping the precept, cultivate wholesomeness following Noble Eightfold Path, then purify your mind to meditate to develop wisdom. So if you are sincere, you just go for that, you will not make mistake. Otherwise, you can go into psychic field, develop psychic ability. This is a deviation. Means you want to develop fame. You are not sincere. You want to be famous. You want to have special ability to do special things, like psychic ability and all those things. So with this understanding, the sincerity of purpose will prevent you from deviating. Then second is clear comprehension of domain of meditation. And this one is very important. This one prevents you from being deceived and deluded by the normal practitioner who think you have to wait till you have time to meditate. You have to wait till you retire so that you can go full time. That is a delusion. That's why it will lead to deviation. Meditation, the Buddha said, can be done anywhere, any place, anytime, in all posture, in the midst of life, while working, while living life, while doing your duty in life. So clear comprehension of domain of meditation will keep you focused on the cultivation. You will never deviate. Then the third one is also make you focus. Clear comprehension of suitability. Suitability means when is the most important place? What is the most important place to cultivate? It's the here and the now, under whatever condition. The most important people are the people around you. Do your duty. And the most important time is the here and the now. Develop mindfulness, sati, awareness. Be with the moment to experience life, to live life, to truly be aware of what is going on in life. Without this ability to be aware, you cannot develop understanding. You don't know what is going on. You are most of the time lost in thought, preoccupied with your thinking. Most of the time, worrying about life, planning your life. Get yourself like very restless, agitated with life. So, if you are heedless, you are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so, you never live life. You can never be with the moment. Then the last clear comprehension of is clear comprehension of non-delusion. And that one you have to read up the 10 defilements of insight. Do not be trapped by them. The 10 defilements of insight are very important. They are very beautiful mind states. It's a sign of progress, but you attach, it becomes a defilement of insight. And the very common one is those who do concentration, obasa, when you can see light. You think this is a special ability. Then you get very excited, then you focus, you concentrate, then you deviate and go into all this type of wrong cultivation. Then the other one is your daily mindfulness become very stable. Then your thought will tell you, oh, maybe I'm already enlightened. Because the arahan are ever mindful, constantly meditating. So you take that as you already achieved, realize. And then you become complacent. Then you think you can teach, you can want. All these are what your thought tells you. But if you have really realized the Dhamma, the nature will know. Where the nature awakened to it. The form and mind that is connected will understand. That this one is pachitang. Can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. So you will not be deceived. But if your thought tells you that is not your true realization, that is something else, that is knowledge. Okay. Then there are the other eight, you have to go through it, the defilement of insight, so that you are not entangled. And once you realize this, the fifth stage, this one is the most difficult and most important. Most difficult. And most important. So this step five, step five. The rest are relatively easy. This one most of you have, this one also most of you have, but you need to stabilize it so that the initial wisdom comes. This one, most of you have partial, not stable. But the moment you stabilize, the faith will be there. Then after that, the fifth step, sati sabbajana, will become very easy. But if you haven't stabilized 2 and 4, the step 2 and step 4, this step 5 can never happen. That's the reason why I always share with you all. Not until you can develop this stability of daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, the true, real meditation has not started. That's why this one is the most important step. Once you hit this one, then the other steps are very easy. A natural consequence of the step 5. Once step 5 is there, you will see the Dhamma. You will understand the Dhamma. You will know who you are, what you are. Everything becomes very clear. That's why without sati, you are blind. Without sati, you cannot be heedful. You are heedless. The heedless are as if they. That's why you need this stability of daily mindfulness. then without sati, you cannot cultivate four foundation of mindfulness. Without a stable sati, you cannot be mindful of the evil roots. You cannot see your defilement. You cannot keep your precept. There is no sense restraint. That's why step six is, after you have sati, sambhajana, step six is sense restraint, automatic. Which means you can keep your precept. Then after sense of strain, you got step seven. Step seven also natural. Three way of right conduct. Means right speech, right thought, and right action. These two, they will come very naturally. Then once you have these two, you are ready to cultivate step eight. Step eight is cultivate four foundation of mindfulness. Four foundation of mindfulness. Then after that, step nine, seven stages of enlightenment. You will start to see them. So seven factors. Seven factors of enlightenment. Enlightenment. Then you know you are on the right path. Otherwise, this enlightenment factor will not surface. They will not arise. So these seven factors of enlightenment, which is step nine, they will keep on arising. And when they arise, you know you are on the right path. Otherwise, they won't be there. And the seven factors of enlightenment are very easy to recognize. First is sati, mindfulness. Once you have sati sambhajana, you will have sati, enlightenment factor. Then dhamma investigation. Step two, you have done it. That's how you will have dhamma vichaya, second factor enlightenment. Then once you do these two, your faith will be there. It stand up to investigation, the true dhamma. They are ehi pasiko. The true dhamma stand up to investigation. That's why the faith very strong. So when your faith very strong, it will drive you to cultivate. True or not? So virya, which is the fourth, and the third factor enlightenment will arise. That's why when virya arises, you will go all out to cultivate all this. So when you go all out to cultivate all this, from virya you will experience piti, sukham, leading to pasati, tranquility. So piti is the fourth enlightenment factor. Pasati, which is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, and the silent mind, which is the mind that enters sati, the meditative mind, you would have realized them too. That's why the fifth enlightenment factor will be there. It's always there. Then after that, when you stabilize it through the daily mindfulness, samadhi will be there. Then you can see things as they are. That's why when you cultivate four foundations of mindfulness, it becomes very easy. Then you can awaken. The last enlightenment factor, upeka, born of wisdom, will arise. That's how the seven factor enlightenment straight away come about. And these two, they are together. It moves over. Then once the seven factor enlightenment are there, you know you are on the right path, you are destined for enlightenment. So the last step is what? Enlightenment in the here and the now. That's how this enlightenment sequence can develop enlightenment. So this last one I will put in red. Number 10. The step 10. Enlightenment in the here and the now. And basically, it's not difficult to be enlightened during this era. So what you need and what you lack, you just stabilize it. Do it. These three, actually these two, the moment you get these two, this one will come. Because with these two, the faith will be very strong, then this one will drive you to cultivate the daily mindfulness. Have a good religious routine. Determined to be aware. And when daily mindfulness comes, throughout the day, you are aware. Your mind enters sati. You are very different. Then you can see a lot of things that you never see before. This is how the step within Avijja Sutta can bring about awakening, enlightenment. So with this roadmap, it becomes very easy to check your cultivation. You will never go wrong. Can follow? So now very clear. So step two is very common, very easy. You have been doing that. But the only thing is, somehow you still don't get it right. You allow the knowledge to interfere. You think you already know. The real contemplation is you have to assume you don't know anything. Start with a clean slate. Don't allow your knowledge to come in. Everything inquire. Why did the Buddha say this? How can I understand this? How can I develop the second turning wisdom? Dukkha is to be understood. Have I understood? Check. All the four noble truth. Check them. First noble truth. Check. Cause arising of suffering. Check. Cessation of suffering. Cultivate to realize it. That's why all the four noble truth, the second turning, the Buddha said, this noble truth of dukkha, the first noble truth, is to be understood. You must understand it. Knowledge is not enough. Then the cause of arising of suffering, which is craving, born of self-delusion, is to be severe. Or, end. Means, you must either cease it, or abandon it, or cease it, or severe it. If you cannot realize the wisdom to cease it, to prevent it from arising, then it will be there to condition suffering. So you need a very stable daily mindfulness. You need first and second turning wisdom initially to give rise to the initial wisdom, to allow you to have this initial wisdom to deal with sense experience in the midst of life. So this is how you have to develop the understanding to cultivate. So when you can have that ability to cultivate this way, you become very beautiful. You will not go wrong. So all this understanding, when you have developed them, you can progress very fast. You will move into the meditation with understanding. So go back, go through this, understand it clearly, and strengthen the step that you have not realized it. Then you are home. Then that realization, when they come, you will have a lot of joy, a lot of understanding. Okay? So with that, maybe I open up for meditation reporting and Q&A. Anybody wants to ask any question or report your meditation or clarify all this 10 steps of the Avijja Sutta, you just raise your hand. We'll pass you the mic. By now, I think it's already very clear. So the rest is up to you. I have done my duty. pass the mic to Alicia.
Hello.
Yeah.
yeah. 没有人问我就
yeah,
use
yeah.
of 这个 opportunity。
Yeah.
之前我所懂的佛法，
yeah.
其实我也不知道。可是最近在我跟一般小朋友一起做灯笼比赛的时候，我就知道原来那个佛法其实是这么简单。
Yeah, very.
因为在我跟他们一起商量不知道该怎么做的时候，我 aware 到我的 mind 是OK， 就是他们讲什么我就顺着他们，而且我就我所知道的我就是大概略讲一点点，然后就让大家去发挥。然后就整个过程里面我会 aware 到其实我们要把我们的我放下来，然后就是顺从众生，大家一起来把这个法怎么样的 unfold 出来。所以在整个的这个 process 里面，我终于懂什么是佛法。
Yeah, 沙土 very good.
阿弥陀佛。
阿弥陀佛。Let us rejoice. So for her, she came to realize actually Dhamma is very simple. An example is when he saw the small children, the small kid, trying to make the lantern. So through that, you develop the understanding.She start to be aware. Actually, the kid, how do they learn? They learn through listening to instruction. And what are kid? Children means what? Very naive. Not so much knowledge. Not so much conditioning. Very easy to teach. Understand or not? You tell them the process. Okay, 做灯笼。Making a lantern, you must start with getting the raw material, maybe the bamboo or whatever. Then slice it, then make the frame. After you make the frame, you get the lantern paper and all those things. Then you have to do up the candle holder with the wire. So they just follow and they can do it so easily.Then she witnessed it. She was there. Be simple, understand not? Don't be too complicated. Wow, you think Tenlong easy to do? Huh? You need to be very skillful. Like that, you never learn. Be you talk only. True knowledge. You think people say like that. But you don't want to go into it. You don't want to give it a try. So when I was young, I give it a try. The first Tenlong, of course, is lousy, understand not? The paper also not properly, stick, so you can see it's not done properly. But later on, I learned from people. Somebody who's done long very nice, then I go to the shop, see how they do. They actually allow the heat inside to make that paper like tense up, understand? That is a process. Then when I saw that, I say, oh, it's very easy. So you have to be simple, just follow instruction.I remember last time, Elsie here, right? Elsie not here. That song also used to tell Kayanamita, 你什么都不要做 ,brother 就讲的你照做就可以了。不要去给抢，不要去拿以前的 knowledge. Oh, this one maybe, I do like that means vipassana, otherwise not vipassana. 你死定了的我跟你讲。Then you go back to your old way, not this, not that.Because you never listen. What I share is the total opposite of what people do, and you never change. That's why you cannot progress. Your old way, conditioning, habitual thinking, do that. I'm not saying everybody, I'm not saying only those who don't understand, they have this problem. But those who are simple, like Alicia said,Just listen, understand, reflect, contemplate. The moment you understand, you move very fast. And Dhamma is very simple. After I explain the 10 steps, is there any difficulty? Very simple, isn't it? What you need is just understand it and go ahead and cultivate it. and they are all there. And you will realize the fruition of it, the result of the cultivation. And it's not difficult. But this one will lead to sainthood way very fast. The realization of cessation or nirvana very fast. You do it. Then when you do it, you understand it, it becomes a part of your nature. Then throughout the day, you are aware because of sati sampajana, the fifth step. Not until you are throughout the day aware, heedful, the Buddha already explained very clearly under Dhammapada verse 21. The heedless are as if dead. Only heedfulness lead to enlightenment. The heedful never die. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. So if you are incapable of heedful in the midst of life, how can you be awakened? How can you realize the enlightenment? That's why sati sampajana is a must, so that you can be ever mindful in the midst of life. There is no other way except satipatthana. Of course, the step 2 and step 4 can bring about initial sainthood way. You can realize sotapanna shape, sakadagami shape. But to realize beyond that, you need the four foundations of mindfulness. That's why under the four foundations of mindfulness, the Buddha promised you, if you do this for maximum 7 years, you will realize at least anagami. You still got a little bit of those last five factors, especially mana, self-conceit. Otherwise, you will become arahant. It's all in the sutta. So this sati sampajana is very important. The initial wisdom also very important. Step 2, listening to the Dhamma, reflect on them to develop the initial wisdom is the most important. That's why you must constantly reflect, contemplate, listen to the Dhamma. That's what I did in the early years. I listened to all the Dhamma that Xianhua, my teacher, Ajay Anhua, and all the good Dhamma talk. Dhamma sharing, I listen. Even Kuang Ching, Lao Sang and all those things. So I listen, reflect, contemplate, until very, very clear. That's how you develop it. Because after I have gone through it, then 1989 onward, after I had developed the understanding, my nature understand, then I didn't know what this Avijja Sutta is until I want to do up the write-up for the website. That was about 3 years ago. Beginning of 2017. I think 17, 17, 18, 19. Almost coming to 3 years already, 2 years plus. So during that time, I suddenly, from the internet, I was trying to check certain things. Then this Avijja Sutta prop up. And then I say, how come got such sutta? Then I click on it. Then I saw the two sequence so beautiful. Straight away I understand the teaching. But in the sutta it's mentioned as the new treatment for this, the new treatment for that, which is very confusing. Yeah. So it's actually the 10 step defined clearly based on your cultivation. So what the sutta use is, he said the nutriment for enlightenment, they reverse it, is the 7 factor of enlightenment. And the nutriment for the 7 factor of enlightenment is the cultivation of the 4 foundation of mindfulness. And the nutriment for the 4 foundation of mindfulness is the 3 way of right conduct. That's how it reverse all this. Then there must be sense restraint. Then there must be sati, sampajana, the nutriment. Until finally, you must have Dhamma friend. So all the cultivation start with Dhamma friend. That's how the cultivation is to be developed. And this one is by Sakyamuni Buddha in the sutta. But when you understand, it becomes very clear, very simple. And with this roadmap, you cannot go wrong. Why you go and worry about method, technique, and all those things? You meditate with understanding. Forget about your conditioning. Now clear now. Understand what is meditation. Meditation is to train your mind to be heedful, to be ever mindful. Is it difficult? To be heedful, there are two parts. Constantly meditative, ever mindful. So if I know I have to develop these two, I start with what? Training my mind to be mindful first, to be aware. And that one, through understanding, you already know how to have mindfulness. The mental hindrance must not be there. So I don't fight the mental hindrance. I don't suppress them. I go for the opposite fight, spiritual faculty. That's why the moment I develop the spiritual faculty, meditation is direct. Like when I say, relax and wait, silent. You realize the no-thought stage. This is your true mind. You realize your true mind. Then you meditate from there, you progress very fast. Otherwise, you become gullible. Then, what are method? What are techniques? They are just skillful means to anchor the mind, to train the mind, to stabilize the mind. Because normal people cannot develop the training of the mind. Their mind are not quiet, not peaceful. Why are you not peaceful? Not able to be in the meditative state of inner peace, inner awareness. It's because you have mental hindrance. They hinders you from entering the meditative state. And why does mental hindrance arise? Because you lack the five spiritual faculty. So when you understand this, you go back to basic. Cultivate spiritual faculty. Then relax. And where? Realize the silent mind, the true mind. When you are with the spiritual faculty, your first two sadha virya, they will make your mind very calm, very composed, and give you energy. So the composed and calm mind with the energy will drive you to cultivate. And the next thing you cultivate is what? You develop heedfulness. That's why sati come to be first. Then when sati is developed, you stabilize it to be ever mindful. That's how samadhi come to be. Then with sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are. You will awaken and wisdom will be there. That's why with these five, the five mental hindrance all cease. You can meditate very easily after that. After that, you relax, silent, aware. You are in the meditative state. Right? You don't need method, technique to anchor your mind. Why do that? These are only needed for people who don't understand, who cannot have the meditative mind. And they are not told why method, why technique. Yet their mind heedlessly wander off, think a lot. They cannot be in a state of silent awareness to be with the moment. That's why they need the object of meditation to anchor that mind so that it does not run. Then they have to supposed to train it to be mindful like anapanasati, but they go and focus, concentrate and develop jhana and energy movement. That's where they go wrong. So all this can be understood. It's in the Thursday class sharing. You listen, when all these are clear, write it down, then don't make those mistakes. Then you will progress very far. Otherwise, you allow your thought and knowledge to tell you. I heard the monk say like that, must do like that, vipassana, must note this, must note that, must meditate like that, must focus, must concentrate, must have jhana, otherwise cannot be enlightened. When you are so confused, all this can create doubt in you and cause you to debate. You have to reflect on the sutta. Initially, the Buddha did all those types of meditation. Jhana. And did he become enlightened? No. That's why he went on his own. And he developed his own understanding. And he freed. It's not the jhana. But with the jhana, you can still release it, come out and develop the four foundations of mindfulness. Following Avijja Sutta, you can still awaken. But if you don't release it out, all your mental hindrances are suppressed, you cannot check. You think you got no more hindrance, but they are actually all suppressed due to your energy field, your calmness. That's why they cannot manifest. And you think you are enlightened. You can be trapped. When you grow old, when you don't have the energy or strength to maintain that jhanic concentration or samatha energy field, then you realize these mental hindrance arise again where they are not rooted out. Then your ignorant avijja will condition you into negativity. Then you have problem. You say, last time, all this cannot arise. Why now it arise again? Then you dare not tell people. Because you have assumed that you already enlightened. That's how they become afflicted, miserable. Then they have to really develop the understanding again. But those who have the good condition, they will come to know they are trapped. That's why when you got good teacher, right teacher who can guide you, you can come out of it and reverse your cultivation following the 10th step of the Avijja Sutta. You go back to daily mindfulness, then you will develop the understanding and the awakening, and you can become enlightened, not a problem at all. Where the Buddha also developed the jhana before he realized the enlightenment. But when he was doing it at the peak of it, he know this is not what he is searching for. All the formless rhyme that can have very long life, he know that is not ultimate, that is not what he is looking for. What he is looking for is the understanding to free his mind through overcoming old age, sickness and death. When he was living that life, where he realized he has a problem. This form and mind has problem, cannot go beyond old age, sickness and death. Until that night when he connected, he realized this is not him. This one is not a permanent unchanging entity. This form and mind, the five real form and mind, the two aspects, they are dependent originating, condition arising phenomena. Not real. Not a permanent unchanging entity that he can cling on to, hold on to, grasp on to and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore all this can be mine. That's how he started the teaching. The Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the Four Noble Truths, the Three Turning, followed by Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. And that's how the five ascetic become Arahant, straight away. Not through jhana, not through all those so-called practice. That's why use your understanding to check. Don't be gullible. Don't just believe what people tell you. Don't be so conditioned by what people say. Investigate into everything. Find out yourself. The Dhamma is very simple, like Alicia come to know. Don't make it complicated. Don't allow your thought to tell you things. Investigate. Assume you don't know anything. Leave your knowledge behind. The knowledge is useful later, but initially not important. Don't let it condition you. Don't let it influence you. Otherwise, your progress will be affected. You will stagnate. Because through knowledge, you think you know. And that is what knowledge is all about. Knowledge bind. Knowledge prevent comprehension, wisdom. We have the thought that say he know, can never learn, can never listen with an open mind. The art of listening, the art of cultivation, they are all not there. Because the art of listening is to listen attentively without views and opinion and conditioning. When you have your views, opinion and conditioning and your belief system to tell you things, then you are not listening. You are actually arguing, commenting. That's why the commentator is there, chattering inside there. Cannot be, the book say like that, the monk say like that, my teacher say like that. Why they teach like that? When you do that, you are not listening at all. Do you understand? You are lost in thought. You are preoccupied with your own views, opinion. Means you are not listening. The art of listening is silent. develop the awareness, then listen first, then investigate, check through your own understanding. If it's the truth, it will stand up to investigation. So no harm trying. But you try and it doesn't stand up to investigation, forget about it, understand? If they teach you something using the thought to meditate, to know, to verbalize, you want to realize a state which is the Dhamma, which is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond mind, you ask yourself, can it be done? Cannot be done. So what must I do? I must start with an instrument that commensurate with the Dhamma. Means I must be aware. I must have the awareness that is beyond thought, beyond mind. That is what the Buddha teaches. When I am aware, I can be heedful. If I am not mindful, not aware, I cannot stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then I cannot use this quality of mind to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So the definition of heedfulness, Dhammapada verse 23, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, they will realize the supreme, born-free Nirvana. So all these are in the teaching. Check, investigate, understand, then move. Then you will not debate. You will not become gullible. If it's not the truth, there will be no result. It will not stand up to investigation. Find out. Find. Don't be afraid of new things. You can never learn if you are not able to have a open mind to listen first. When you listen, you investigate, you will know whether it's the truth or not. If it's the truth, it will stand up the investigation. If it's not the truth, it will fall apart. So all this, you have to reflect, contemplate, develop the clear understanding, then if possible, write them down. And constantly reflect, contemplate, and remind yourself what the practice is, what the Dhamma is, what the teaching is. When Pariyati is clear, then phase two of Dhamma, Patipatti, can become very easy. But if first phase of Dhamma, Pariyati, the learning of the teaching, is not clear, you cannot cultivate something that you don't understand. That's why you are wasting time. Understand, then move. Meditation has to be developed with understanding. Don't just be gullible, follow method, follow instruction, follow what people tell you. Meditation is not difficult when you understand. So all these are in the teaching, not difficult to understand. Okay? What's the time now? Oh, another 6 minutes. So, is it clear? If it's clear, then you only need to go back and develop the faith, then work on it. Now you have narrowed your cultivation to step two, step three. Step three, no need. Step three is automatic. Step two, step four, and step five. It's not difficult. Step 5 maybe is not easy for most people. Yeah, I realize step 5, you don't have your past cultivation. It's like very difficult for most people, the daily mindfulness. But if you really have the faith, it's not difficult. In fact, many Kayanita can do it. So it's a matter of your understanding and faith. If your faith is very strong, if you go all out, it will be developed. And you can do it easily. Anybody else? Any other question or sharing? No more. Then we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we will do the sharing of merit, transfer of merit. What day we can have class? Okay. So stop for 2 weeks, Stop for 2 weeks. So 20th of October the class will start again. Means 6th of October the class is cancelled because of our Kayanita gathering. 13th October also cancel because it's a full moon day. But the next following week, 20th October is on. Okay? Yeah. That's what Miss Lee confirmed. So bear that in mind. Yeah? She will send out the notice later. So third week of October, we will continue with our this path to truth. The path to truth. This sharing. So we will share merit and transfer merit. Akka Satta Chabumata Deva Naga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Hita Wata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabe Deva Anumodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhya Idam menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idam menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idam menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Deo asatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha. Pito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyam kamena name bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava divana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Jin Hao has arrived. He brought along his Singapore friend, Brother Chia and Sandra, the wife. So sadhu to them. We just end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So don't worry. After this, we can have dinner today. Yeah, Brother Chia, come. Sadhu. Come, Sandra. Yeah, they are from Singapore. I think most of you know Brother Chia and Sandra. They are with us at the retreat for 2 years, I think, 2 or 3 years. Yeah, sadhu. Sadhu. The rest, you can pay respect, triple jam. Then we end. Okay, sadhu. Yeah, Brother Timo has helped you develop the recording. Hopefully it turned out well. Yeah. Also, this mic, use Kayanamita Fan. Yeah. So, our mic need to be replaced because the old one, Miss Lee said, doesn't function anymore. So like anything, wear and tear. So your physical body also you have to take care. Otherwise, like the mind, beyond economical repair, cannot function anymore. Then consciousness has to separate. So this is also Dhamma when you understand. So everything is dependent, originating, condition arising. When condition no more, it ceases to be. But doesn't mean the microphone died, you understand? The microphone didn't die. It failed to function because condition no more conducive. The condition ceased to be. Everything is like that. Not what you think. Dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. How real can it be? As real it can be, it's only the moment. Split second is dead and gone. That is the only reality in life. So when you understand all this, Dhamma become very clear. Then you will understand many things. Okay?